Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
One of the amazing reasons we gather together every single week is to encourage each other in the Word of God and to learn more about Jesus. And so this morning, if you are new around these parts, that's what we're about to do right now. And it's my absolute privilege to share some scripture and to share some thoughts that I really hope will bless you. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start at verse 9. And if you don't have your Bible, that's okay. The scripture will be on the screen as well. So this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? That word righteousness means it brings us to as we ought to be, as we were created to be, acceptable to God. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And what was transitory came with glory. How much greater is the glory of that which lasts? The author here, Paul, is talking about the old covenant and the new covenant. If the old covenant was glorious, how much more glorious is the new covenant under Jesus Christ? Verse 12 says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. In Exodus chapter 34, we read about Moses who would meet with God and would come down. And when he came back, his face was radiant and the people were amazed, but he would put a veil on because as he was back with the people, that glory would fade. And so he put a veil on to stop them seeing the fading glory. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, you and I, all of us, those who are part of the new covenant, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What we get to be a part of is something that doesn't fade, but something that grows. And if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Ever-Increasing Glory. Let's pray, ask God to really help us this morning. God, we just thank You so much that as we come around Your Word, we get to see You more clearly. And I pray that this morning You would reveal Yourself to us. You would help us to understand who You are. You'd help us to see You. And I pray, God, that as we see You, it would transform who we are and that our lives will be impacted and we'll be different walking out of this place than the way that we walked in. We pray that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know how you ended up here. I don't know if you've been coming for years or if maybe this is the first time for you in church. Well, let me tell you one thing that I do know. I know God has a glorious plan for your life. He has a plan for your life that is something that He wants to see come to pass, and it's going to be something that other people recognize as the blessing of God. And when they see it on your life, they're going to give glory to God. God wants to experience, or wants you to experience His life like you could only imagine. Do you know, we sometimes look back into the Old Testament, we read all these scriptures, these stories, even someone like Moses, and it's easy, I don't know about you, but for me, it's easy to look at these people and think, wow, they're so much better than me, right? Imagine if I could have that kind of faith. Imagine if I could be that kind of person. But what's amazing when we read through the Old Testament is all of these stories are phenomenal. They are full of faith. But the Bible actually says that we, you and I, have something better. We have something better than them. And that's crazy to think of because these heroes are next level. Do you know, even Jesus Himself talking about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 said this, there has been no one born of woman greater than John. He is the greatest. He is the greatest that has been born. Yet, he goes on to say, even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Do you know anyone who is a part of what Jesus has achieved, anyone who is under that new covenant, we actually have something even better than the greats of old. The old covenant was a covenant between God and his people Israel. And it was established on the mountain of Sinai, and he gave them commandments, and he made a covenant with them saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. It's a beautiful, glorious covenant. Imagine that, God of the universe, the one who created all things, saying to his children, hey, I will be your God, you will be my people. What an incredible, incredible covenant. And he says, you know what, for this relationship to work, I'm actually going to give you some standards. I'm actually going to give you a way to live. I'm actually going to establish some principles based on my nature and who I am that you need to live up to. And he gave them the law. Now, the law with the Ten Commandments and all the commandments that flow from that is this perfect picture of what it means to be righteous, to live as we ought to be acceptable to God. Now, that is great to know what perfection is, but as I'm sure you would have found out, because I have found out, and all people throughout history have found out, no matter how hard you try, you can't quite be perfect. Do you know what I'm saying? You can never get it right 100% of the time. So that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians, when he says, if the ministry that brought condemnation, another part of the scriptures, Paul says, it's the ministry of death. What he's saying isn't that the law is bad. He's saying it's good. But he's saying that what it does is it actually reveals to us that none of us are perfect. And because none of us can live up to that standard, then we actually find ourselves breaking this covenant agreement between God. So all that to say, and to give a bit of context to this scripture, the old covenant is about rules and regulations. The Bible says, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. I don't know if you've ever tried to share your faith with a friend who doesn't know Jesus, and you're trying to explain it the best way possible, but it's like all they can see is the rules and the regulations of a religion. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I remember being in school and I got radically saved, and I'm trying to explain to my friends that they need Jesus, that God loves them. And they're like, oh, so you're a Christian? I'm like, yes, I'm a Christian. They said, oh, so does that mean you don't get drunk? I'm like, well, yes, but I mean, that's not what it's about. And I want to explain to you about the goodness of God. And they're like, oh, so you have to go to church every single week. Well, no, I don't have to, but I mean, I want to, but I should. I mean, and you're trying to like explain it, you know what I'm saying? And it sort of doesn't make sense. People can only see the rules and the regulations. They can only see what you're meant to do and what you're not meant to. So you're telling me that, you know, you don't sleep around? Yeah, you know, but it's more than that. So I remember being a teenager, and I'm sure many people in this room, as you've tried to share with a colleague or a friend, they're like, oh, that's good that you go to church. Oh, is that, yeah, that's good that you give to the church. That's good that you're a part of that church thing. And it's like, oh man, if only you could see. Do you know what we're witnessing is what this scripture is talking about? When Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. When people only perceive what we have in us as religion, when people only perceive what our Christianity is as a religion, they only see the rules and the regulations, and that's all they can see. It's like a veil covers their hearts. Now, have you ever talked to somebody who didn't want anything to do with church, but then had an encounter with Jesus? And they are like next level excited. Some of the most intense and passionate evangelists that I know were people that were living the hardest, people that were furthest away from God, you may say, people that, you know, hated the church and wanted to live wild. And then all of a sudden they have an encounter with a living God, and all of a sudden they can't stop talking about Jesus. And when you don't know Jesus, it sort of doesn't make much sense. And so you might be in the room and you're like, you guys just talk about Jesus a lot, right? You're always talking about Jesus. But the reason we're always talking about Jesus is because once you experience Jesus, this veil is removed. And all of a sudden you are like, whoa, there is so much more to this than I realized. There is so much more to Christianity than just a religion. There is so much more to being a part of a church and just being in a club and having rules and regulations. Christianity is so much more than just what you have to do. It's actually the fulfillment of who you are created to be. And you get so passionate, you get so excited. And give me a yell if that's you. You've ever experienced that in your life. So good. Do you know the new covenant, the Bible says, in just before the verse we read in 2 Corinthians 3, it says it is not written with ink. It is written in the Spirit of God. It's not written with ink. It's written with the Spirit of the living God. It is not written on stone. It is written on human hearts. So the Old Testament was a covenant agreement that was given where there was an expectation that people would live up to a certain standard. People couldn't live up to that standard, and Jesus comes along and establishes a new covenant. It's a new covenant of grace, a new covenant of where people get to experience the presence of God, not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done on our behalf. And that is why there is freedom. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the promise is this, that the more you dwell on who Jesus is and what he has done for you, the more you become like you were created to be. Verse 18 says this, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Do you know, your countenance reveals the presence of God. And the thing I love about seeing people who have walked faithfully with God for many years is there is something about them that you can't always put words to, but you can sense. There is a security, there is a strength, there is an assurance, there is a kindness, there is a joy, there is a life. And it's like, I can't experience it, but I can see it. I can feel it when I'm in your presence. And Moses put a veil over his face because that glory that God put upon him would fade. But for us, the promise is that it would be ever increasing. That we would go from strength to strength, glory to glory, we would experience as God himself wants us to. Do you know, there's two words I want to draw out of this verse here. It says that with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. So the word contemplate is this Greek word, kaptrizo, which means to behold as, how'd I go, Con? That's all right. Which means to behold as in a mirror. So to contemplate means to like be captivated, to put your focus on, to dwell upon, to think about, to observe, to look towards. And it's talking here about understanding and contemplating the glory of God, which we do through understanding the gospel, through seeing the gospel. It's talking here about meditating on the good news. The second word is the word transformed. Now that is a Greek word, metamorpho, which means to change into another form or to transform or to transfigure. Now, part of the Christian promise is to continually change. So first of all, if you're in the room and you've been walking with God for a long time and there has been no change for a season, there has been no change over a number of years, then let me encourage you, God's not done with you yet. He hasn't finished with you yet. There is more of God for you to discover. There is more of you to discover. You know, our Christianity as we walk with God doesn't grow stale because it's ever increasing. He has got more for you. But if you haven't changed in the last little while, God wants to see you change continually into who you are called to be. So his promise is transformation. His promise is for us to be transformed, and his method is contemplation. Now, I don't know about you, but as we've heard this morning, it's far easier to work for transformation than to contemplate for transformation. It's far easier to try and fix your life. And man, I tell you what, there's an entire industry in our world right now full of self-help trying to say if you can work hard enough and if you can change enough things, then you can see your life transformed. But God's method is not just working hard on yourself. It is actually contemplating Christ. And so what I want to share, I suppose, this morning is how on earth can contemplating Christ transform a person? And so we're going to share four ways contemplating Christ can transform you. Does that sound all right? Fantastic. So if you're taking notes, we're going to start with the first way contemplation transforms you, and it is this. Contemplating Christ humbles you. The first thing contemplating Christ does, as I've experienced, is it humbles you. It makes you realize that, oh my gosh, I am not the center of the universe. It makes you realize that there is something greater than you on this planet. Now, that might seem like it's insignificant and not important, but it is huge. Do you know, when you see Jesus for who he truly is, he is so much bigger than you could have imagined. You know, John, who walked with Jesus all the years of his ministry, had a revelation after Jesus died and rose again of Jesus. He had a vision of Jesus, which is written down in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says that when he sees Jesus, he fell to the floor as if dead. He literally was like, whoa, I mean, I knew you. and I know you, but man, now when I'm in your presence, wow, have I been humbled. He fell to the floor as though dead. And Jesus is like, don't be afraid. It's me, right? We see it throughout the Bible. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was one of those people that disliked the church and was against God, but had an encounter with Jesus. And he is like, who are you, Lord? And his life completely radically changes. You see the people on the boat, Jesus was doing ministry and there's this great storm and everyone is stressing out. And then he gets up and he's like, be still. And the wind and the waves calm down. And the people were there, it says they were terrified. And they say, who is this man? The presence of Jesus is so big and so incredible that it's quite humbling. Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he first met Jesus, pulls in this great haul of fish and says, oh my gosh, you are not just another man. You are God. You can't be near me. Depart from me, for I am a sinner. The presence of Jesus actually humbles us. It makes us realize that God is bigger than us, that there is more to this life than meets the eye. There is more to, you know, our experience on this world than we can imagine. And it is a powerful thing to be in the presence of God. Do you know, when a person is the center of their universe, it is actually quite dangerous because everything and everyone revolves around them. All decisions are made based on what you think is best, what you think will be helpful. And this is how so many poor decisions are made. And of course, when you think about the number of people in this room and even the number of people in this world, when there's 7 billion people on this planet and so many of them think that they're the center of the universe and that the rest of the world should revolve around them, of course we're going to have conflicts. Of course we're going to have clashes. Of course we're going to have disagreements because it is like, wait a second, that doesn't work best for me. And then we find ourselves in this like battle between people, even people that we love. In our own marriages, in our own families, we find ourselves, if we allow ourselves to be brought back to the center, and we put ourselves in the center of our universe, we start to battle with the people that we love around us and cause great pain. But you know what? When you discover that Jesus is the center, when you discover that he is the one that all things revolve around, when you discover that he is God, all of a sudden you realize no matter how important you are, you're a satellite like the rest of us. He is the center and we revolve around him. And when you discover that and you humble yourself and you recognize the bigness of God, do you know what? Actually brings great peace. Actually brings great relief. When you discover God is good and he is in control, do you know, we have a dog called Honey, and Honey's quite old. And when we got Honey, she was 12 and she had anxiety. Like I'm telling you, medicated anxiety, right? Separation anxiety, it's a full thing for dogs. So we were like, what are we gonna do? This dog will not leave us alone. It's always crying. When we leave, it's crying. And we did some research and we quickly found out that the issue with Honey was that she thought she was the alpha dog of the pack. And because she thought she was the alpha dog of the pack, every time we left, she would stress. She would get anxious. She would get worried, wondering where her puppies are, all of us, right? She'd be like, and then she'd hear a loud noise. She'd hear some construction, she'd hear something, and she would be like, I have to go and save my family. And so she'd escape, she'd run through the streets, she'd get lost. She was stressed out because she thought she was responsible for all of us. So the answer to her anxiety was to help her understand that she wasn't responsible for all of us. So through training, which I didn't really do, my dad did, the man, through training, this dog realized that it was just another part of the family, that it didn't have to take care of all of us, and the anxiety was healed, it was fixed, right? And how true is that of us? When we think we're responsible for our lives, we're responsible to take care of our family, we think that it's all upon us. If I don't provide, everything's gonna fall apart. If I don't break through, then nothing's gonna happen. We take this weight upon ourselves, and it's the weight that we were never created to carry. It's a weight that God himself wants to carry on our behalf. And if we start taking that on, the pressure comes on. But when you realize that there is a God who is good, that there is a God who loves you, and that he doesn't revolve around us, but we revolve around him, the pressure comes off. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is the one who will guide me. He is the one who will help me. Being in the presence of God, contemplating Jesus, actually humbles us. The second thing contemplating Christ does is contemplating Christ establishes you. You guys doing all right? I only got four of these, but I hope they're helpful. The first one, contemplating Christ humbles you. The second one, contemplating Christ establishes you. You know, we live in a world right now where everyone is trying to figure out who they are, what they were created to do and what the meaning of life is. Everyone is on this quest to like make sense of their existence. What am I supposed to do? Who am I? How can I experience everything that I want to experience? People are on this massive mission. And as odd as it may seem to you, if you don't yet know Jesus, your life is actually found in Christ. Now, again, I'll sound like one of those people who've experienced Jesus and now he's trying to explain it to everyone because that's what's happened. But before you know Jesus, you think, well, you know, I don't get this whole my life is found in Christ thing. I'm telling you, who you were created to be will be discovered as you learn more about Jesus. Now, I would challenge you, if you're in this room and you've never opened your heart up to God, you've never opened up your heart to Jesus and said, you know what, I want to find out who you truly are. My challenge to you is this. Seek Jesus. Seek Jesus with all of your heart. Try and find out, you know, what you need to find out. Ask the questions. Seek the counsel. Read the word. You know, talk to leaders. Do whatever you have to do to seek Jesus with your heart. Like the reality of it. Just be like, Jesus, if you're there, I need to know you. I'm telling you, if you would seek Jesus with all of your heart, I'm telling you, if you would come back in a year from now, I would challenge you to tell me that you have not discovered more of who you are than you have for the rest of your life. I believe as you seek Jesus, you will discover so much more of yourself. The Bible puts it like this in Colossians chapter 3. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. People search their history, their ancestry, they search everything they can about their past, trying to discover who they are. But at best, that search will help you understand how you ended up where you are. But to understand who you are and understand what it is that's on your life and what you can do with your life, you actually need to go to the one who created you, who knows the beginning from the end, who is able to lead you and guide you into all truth. You need to discover God Himself. And as we contemplate Christ, we recognize our place in His story as His children. So John 1 verse 12 says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Contemplating Christ establishes you because all of a sudden, the more you learn about him, the more you discover about him, the more you learn about yourself and the more you discover about yourself. You are established as a child of God. That confidence that you are his child, that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, it will actually give you a strength that nothing else can. And this establishing of your identity is actually vital to do anything of significance. Jesus talking about our purposes and fulfilling the call of God says in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, who knows, we can do many things, but what he's talking about here is nothing of significance, nothing that you were created to do. You cannot fulfill your God-given purpose until you understand what it means to abide in me. How many of us look to the left, look to the right, trying to figure out how we should live, what we should do, the decisions we should make? You know, we have an entire generation that is sort of being raised on social media, and we scroll through day after day, seeing images of what other people are doing. And we start to compare ourselves and say, well, that's maybe what I should be doing. And we start trying to live a life that someone else is living. And the tragedy is, in the living of that life, we miss the life that we could live ourselves. The unique experience and expression of God's glory on earth in your life is missed because you're trying to be somebody else. How easy is it to just be like, well, that's what I should do? But, you know, we are not those who base who we are on those around us. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. How does God transform? Through contemplation. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. How specific is this verse? Amazing, right? It's like it was custom made for this message. You will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Do you know, true success is walking in the will of God. And your success looks different to someone else's success. And you can live someone else's success and still be unfulfilled, still live without joy. You can have it all and have nothing, because until you discover who you were created to be, God's will for you. What's God's will for you? Maybe some of you need to stop contemplating the lives of the people around you through social media. Have a little bit of a break from it and start to contemplate Jesus. Start to discover who He is. Start to understand who He is. And as you understand who He is, He will establish you. He will establish you as your own person. He will speak to you about the things that you are called to do. Do you know, I know that this young man's still on a journey, and it's awesome though to reflect on people's journeys, not just where they end up or where they may be, but to see a journey. A young man called Justin Bieber. Hey. It's actually an amazing story because he's obviously so talented, so skilled. At such a young age, he became ultra famous, like as famous as you can basically become. And at a young age, he had all the money, all the wealth, all the worldly opportunities you could imagine. And in his own words, he talks about how that negatively affected him. He started to try and figure out who he was. He's still at this age where he's trying to work out his own identity, and people are telling him this, people are telling him that. He's trying to, you know, live life as he thinks he should, not as he knows he should. And his life actually got to this point where it was really, really broken. A great young man with incredible talent in complete brokenness. He had it all, but he had nothing. And his mum, a praying, faith-filled mum, how good are the faith-filled mums out there? Give it up for the faith-filled mums. And let this be an encouragement to you mums who have a wayward child. You know, I honestly believe that a child can only stray so long if they've got a praying mum or a praying grandma or a praying father or grandfather. Keep praying for your kids. So she reaches out to her pastor, a guy called Judah Smith, who knows Justin and says, hey, look, he's really struggling. Can you start to get around him? And Judah reaches out to a friend called Carl, and Carl and Judah start to like connect with Justin, and they start to like, you know, just help him to see Jesus. And they just meet with him, they hang with him, they're like whatever, just doing life, right? And little by little, Justin starts to come to a point where he receives Jesus and is baptized. And Carl tells a story about how they didn't know where to baptize him. It was about 2 a.m. in New York City. So he calls up one of his NBA friends who's got this custom-made bath. I think it's like he's a 7'8" dude or something. I don't know, he's 7 foot something. And he's got this like 10-foot bath. And so they fill it up and they went and baptize him in this bath, right? And he goes on to go on this journey of figuring out who he is. Now, if you watch where he is now, he is on a journey, but he is learning who he is in Christ and the fulfillment and the joy that is coming to his life now. No matter how much money he had or wealth he had, couldn't have been found there. It's a picture of the glory of God. And you know what's amazing is there are literally millions and millions of young people watching this guy's journey unfold over social media as he is declaring the gospel of God and he is showing people the goodness of God. And so I think we should just honor God real quick for that one. But contemplating Christ humbles you, and contemplating Christ establishes you. Thirdly, contemplating Christ guides you. When you contemplate Christ, what you actually see as you contemplate Him is a crucified God. Now, this is like a paradox because God is all-powerful, almighty, self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone or anything, yet He gave Himself up for you and I. He was crucified on our behalf. He was so motivated by His love for you and I, and the covenant of the law was not creating the relationship that we needed with Him. So He says, I will come and give Myself to Him. When we contemplate Christ, we actually see a self-sacrificing God. Do you know, God in His nature, before creation even happened, was self-giving. This is the picture of the Trinity. God the Father giving Himself to the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son to the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit to the Father and the Son. This relationship existed even before creation, where God is self-giving. It is His nature. And as He gives and we contemplate His giving, guess what? What you see is what you emulate. You know, I grew up in an amazing house with amazing parents, and I had very generous parents. You know, I remember many Christmases when we would have families at our table who, you know, may have been without, you know, family and whatnot, sitting there being encouraged and loved upon by my parents. I remember my mom, a nurse in emergency at St. Vincent's, telling me stories of the people that were down and out, the homeless and the prostitutes and the drug addicts that would come in, that she would minister to, that she would encourage. She became a chaplain. Dylan at Caritas, which is a mental health unit for people with severe psychotic challenges. You know, she would minister to these people. And I watched this. We watched this as kids, our parents living like this, and it shaped who I am. It shaped my perception of value. I love people not because of what they do, but because they have innate value, because my parents taught me that. When that's what you see, that's what you do. So who Jesus is, the more you see him for who he is, the more it affects what you do. Take Zacchaeus, for example. He's this guy, tax collector. He would rob people. Then he meets Jesus, and because he met Jesus, he literally stands up and he says, look, I'm gonna repay back everyone that I have wronged four times what I took from them. I need to make sure that everyone is blessed that I have tried to rob. He was a transformed man because he was in the presence of Jesus. Contemplating Christ humbles you. Contemplating Christ establishes you. Contemplating Christ guides you. And the last one, contemplating Christ empowers you. I might ask Jez to come up and just play keys as we wrap up the service. But the miracle of the gospel is this, that we get to do life with God. We get to walk with God in our day-to-day. You want to know what it is that's better about what we have than about what those of the Old Testament, Old Covenant had? What's better is the fact that we have God with us and we have God in us. You know, they had God as the leader of the people, but it was through priests, it was through animal sacrifice that they were made righteous, it was through men that the presence of God was communicated, which is why Moses came and was sort of a mediator. With Jesus, that mediator has been removed, and you now have God with you. John 14 says, he will be with you, and he will live in you. You have God with you. Do you know, the more you contemplate Jesus, the more you think about him, the more you realize what you have. And do you know what? This is why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word about Christ. Because when you reflect about Jesus, when you meditate on the word about Christ and you realize what he has done for you and the fact that God is with you, it builds your faith. Well, if God's with me, then why can't I step out in faith? If God's my provider, then why am I stressed? If God wants to heal, then why can't I pray? If God wants to see restoration, then why can't I walk in forgiveness? When you contemplate Jesus, all of a sudden you start to have faith come up. And I think about my life, many of the times that I've had to take a faith step. And it's almost like when I've been contemplating Jesus, I have strong faith. And when I haven't, it's like I struggle to find the faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word about Christ. As you walk in faith, you see the grace of God flow into your life. Do you know, there's great power in contemplating Christ. The more we contemplate Christ, the greater our transformation is. Contemplating Christ humbles you. It positions you in a place where you are like, okay, you are God, I'm not. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I'm putting it into your hands. Jesus, I recognize that you are God. Our response is worship. Contemplating Christ as well as humbling you, it establishes you. Not only are you God, but you're my Father. You are good. God, you are the one who wants to carry me. You're the one who wants to walk with me. You are, Psalm 64, I believe, my ever-present help in time of need. Thank you. It establishes me as a son or a daughter. It guides me. What do I do right now? The amount of times that I've felt like picking up a phone to solve a problem and then I've gone for a prayer walk that has affected the phone call. You know what I mean? Especially in leadership, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll know what to do. I'll call this person and we'll work it out. And you go to God and God's like, Tim, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. Come on, soften your heart. You begin to pray for somebody that you're upset at. Instead of yelling at them, you pray for them. Next minute, instead of being angry at them, you start to have empathy for them because you start to realize why it is they're so angry because of the pain, the brokenness, and all of a sudden your perspective is shifted. God guides you by being in his presence. He shifts and changes your decisions. What do I do? Do I do the easy thing or do I do the right thing? When in the presence of God, you are like, God, even if it costs me, I will do the right thing because you are the one that provides for me. Do you know what I'm saying? Contemplating Christ empowers you. He didn't leave you on your own. He left you with the Spirit of God. And he says, I will therefore be with you through all things. Where do I start? I'll wrap up with this. This young adult came to me once. He's having a tough time in life and he says, oh man, I just want to get my life back on track. What do I do, man? What do I do? Help me out. And I said, bro, here's my encouragement to you. If you would just commit yourself to church every single week for a year, I honestly believe that you will look back and you will just be blown away by what God did in your life. You know, sometimes you don't know what God does week by week, but when you look back over a year, you are like, wow, how much have I changed? How much have I grown? Commit yourself to a life group. If you need help to read the Bible, pick up our Bible reading plan, ask a friend, how do you read the Bible? How do you get something out of it? Start to engage with God, contemplate Christ, and you watch, He will see your life transformed. I just want to pray just before we wrap up. And if I could just ask everyone in the room just to close your eyes. We're just going to pray right now. And I would love to pray firstly for anyone here who, if you're honest, right now, I've been talking about Jesus, and for you up until now, maybe it's just been a religion. Maybe Christianity has just been a way of life. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home, but you've never had a revelation of Jesus Himself. I want to pray for you. Maybe you know what it is to walk with God, to be in relationship with God, but right now, if you're honest with yourself, you're so far from God. You are the center of your universe, and you are saying, God, I need to put you on the throne of my heart. If this morning you need to come back to God, or you need to open up your heart to God for the first time, I'd love to pray with you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to ask everyone to pray it out loud. And if you in your heart need to reconnect with God or connect with God, then you pray this from your heart to Him, and we'll all join you. Come on, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that you love me and that you gave up your life for me. This morning, I give my life back to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to be with me forevermore. From this day forward, you're my Lord and my Savior. Walk with me, talk to me, and live in me, in Jesus' name. So while eyes are closed, I just would love to pray for anyone who this morning you prayed that prayer and it really meant something to you. Just so I know who I'm praying for. Maybe it's the first time you've ever opened up your heart to God, or maybe this is you coming back into a vibrant relationship with God. Just so I know who I'm praying for real quick. Just want to just wave at me. Just give me a quick wave if that was you. Chuck your hand up over here. So good. Who else prayed that prayer and it really meant something? You prayed it from your heart. So it's a moment where you were just like, God, I'm giving you my life. If that's you, just chuck your hand up. Anyone else over here as well? Great decision. Who else? Yeah, down here. Amazing, so powerful. What an amazing thing to do this morning is to just go, God, over to you. Lord, we just thank you for these beautiful people who have just responded in their heart to the good news that you are God, that you love us, that you will guide us, and that you will empower us. God, I just thank you so much that you're going to be with them from this day as they walk out of here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can we give it up for these amazing people that responded? So powerful. And just as we finish up our service, and Pastor Chris will get up in a little while and give us some instructions about what's happening across the road and whatnot, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing just to spend a few minutes contemplating Christ, just putting everything else to the side and just focusing on Him? And the Bible says that as we do that, that we will be transformed. So I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what it is that you're believing to see change in your life, your situation, but I do know the answer is to contemplate Jesus. So can I just ask everyone wherever you are, I want you to stand up, and the team's prepared a beautiful song. And as they sing, can I just encourage you, wherever you are, just to take a moment. Don't worry about what you're doing after the service. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Just to focus on Jesus. Thanks, team.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.